whether you need it in English or Spanish, you can reach on the S4C Troops line and request, and we will send it out to you for free. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's get started. Hallelujah. We've been partying, Pastor, so we want you to continue in this praise.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
Yes.
I've been practicing.
That's what I want to hear. Can I get you to stand one more time? We just going to make sure that blood is flowing this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, up, good to see you, Randy. We got both Armstrong boys in the house. We're doing good. We got Arizona in the house. Arkansas in the house.
Arkansas!
And he's an A-State ring. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, for a continuation of your worship, dear Lord. We ask, dear Lord, that the atmosphere is set, dear Jesus, and praises continue to go forth in your heavenly name, dear Lord, that we are all in agreement, dear Jesus, and we stand, dear Lord, to encourage our pastor, dear Lord, to speak the word that was laid on his heart by your precious Holy Spirit. Let him be in obedience in his walk, dear Jesus. Let us stand listening and attentive, dear Jesus, as we hear what is in store for today. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Yeah. Greg, I still got to get that sweatshirt. I like that sweatshirt.
Oh, did you show the shirt?
Huh? Did you show the shirt? I can show it. But come up here. I want them to see that shirt, too. Because we're not selling t-shirts.
No, that was mine, but Brad is.
I think somebody sent this to Pastor Ben.
Brad gave that to me. That's from his shop.
His name's not Brad first.
Huh?
His name's Brent.
Brent, I'm sorry, Brent.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
You're consistently
wrong.
Yeah. If Pastor Ben forgets your name, even after knowing you for a month, he's been doing it for years. just feel close to him. Okay, so I like this t-shirt. This is part of yours too? And this one, look at this one.
Give us some information on your website.
S4C Salt and Light in the world. And then in the back is Salt and Light Cross. It's really the Salt Crew.
Yeah.
Which stands for what? Sanctified
Ambassadors Living Truth.
And the light means?
Huh?
Light.
Light is the ladies' version of salt.
Is that right?
Letting in God's heart today.
Wow. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. This is Pastor Benzo.
Yeah, that's okay. It.
Okay, I already got mine.
Let him say something about his website. Because they want to see.
You should post it.
It's on the YouTube.
Yeah, well, say something.
If they click in the description box, there's the link that would pop up our whole.
Yeah.
Oh, the QR code, okay. Too.
Right. It's all there.
It's all over the YouTube, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
And where did he go? Oh. I was going to get a hug, but
he's out of frame. Or he ran. All right, Pastor.
Okay, praise the Lord. Got a beautiful phone call. And I'm going to give you content of the phone call. Said, my friend called me to tell me, hey, if you want to know about the rapture, you should go to this guy's website, Pastor Sandy's S4C. And he said he went to the website and he was like, waiting to hear about the rapture. He said, but you just kept talking about everything that was going on in my life. You weren't even talking about the rapture. You were talking about how we're living and once saved, always saved is not true. And you got to live a life for Christ and be in relationship. And he said, when I got off, I repented for all the things that I had done and that I was involved in, and I made it a stance to now live my life for Jesus. Okay, so now to me, that's more important than you knowing about the rapture. But I'm glad that he wanted to be introduced to the ministry because he was interested in the rapture and when Christ is coming and things. But he said he found something more, and that was things he needed to shut off in his life and things he needed to get rid of in his life and how he needed to have a real relationship with Christ. And so that's what he says he's been watching more and more because he's hearing how to really live for Jesus, okay? So I'm thankful and blessed for that because that was awesome. Charles, how you doing?
Great.
And your lovely bride?
She's great.
She's good? Good.
She's great, yeah.
All right. If the moon is bright, then that means the sun is shining. Praise God. You know what that means? If the husband's living for Christ, then his wife will be shining. You understand?
Okay. Yes,
thank you. We'll talk about that later. It's deep. Okay. Praise the Lord. I want us to get started here. I am really hopeful that this is it for me. I'm off Wednesday and Thursday. You guys know that, right? And I hope I'm off Wednesday and Thursday. And I mean away and gone. All the numbers and everything are lined up. The blood moon lined up. I'm just waiting. And I'm like on pins and needles. Even if no one else is, I am. So praise God. Here's what we need to discuss today. And before we begin to discuss this, I want to introduce you guys to a word, okay? There's a group called the Society of Thelema. You ever heard of that? The Society of Thelema. I was speaking and he says, I know that you're a part of the Society of Thelema. And he says, so I know what you're all about. And the guy got really mad at him. And Thelema means will in the Greek, okay? So it means your will. And the motto of the Satanic Church is the Society of Thelema, do as thou wilt, okay? Meaning that you do what you will, don't be concerned about what God commanded you to do. And it's the whole motto of Satanism is that you have the will to do whatever you want and exercise that. Don't be concerned about God, okay? Now, they have t-shirts for it. Even Jay-Z had on a sweatshirt. Like we make sweatshirts, they make sweatshirts too. And Jay-Z had on a sweatshirt that said, the Thelema Society. And I'm like, okay, you just might as well just tell us you're a Satanist because, you know, where do you get the shirt at? They only sell them at the Satanic Church in San Francisco. So obviously you've been there. So I want you guys to be familiar with that word because will is the basic strength of any relationship. You don't have to love me, but if you do and it's by your own will, isn't it more beautiful?
Yes.
So God wants people to submit their thelema to God. I want your will, okay? I will never take your will away from you. Whether you're a born again Christian or not a Christian, your will was given to you and you can do whatever you want to in life. Rather you want to concern God. Now, once I get married, you know that my will cannot be the only thing I'm concerned with. Charles, educate us. See, in marriage, can you do whatever you want whenever you feel like it? No, you cannot. Because you're submitting your will for a good cause, which is your wife, right? And you're like, no, she's supposed to be submissive to you. That's only if you have a Bible. It says, submit unto one another. After you get, it says, submit one to another. So I'm submitting to you, and she's submitting to me. And we have a harmonious relationship because we don't exercise our will over another person's feelings, another person's desires. We're living in harmony because we understand we have a will and we have the power to control it. I can call you honey or I can call you a dumb name, and both of those are in my will. I can keep my mouth shut or I can run it. It's in your will. You understand? So this is the barometer of how God governs the relationship that you have with him, because what you will manifest.
Amen.
You understand? It doesn't matter if you say, I believe in Jesus. But what do you will? Because if you believe in Jesus, but that's not, that is, that doesn't control your will, you're going to do things that are outside of the parameters of Scripture, because your will overrides obedience.
Yes.
And that puts you out of relationship. We have the ability to repent and come back in relationship, but you don't want to live with a will that is outside of God's will. You understand?
Amen.
So I am going to begin by reading Corinthians chapter 4, if you would go there with me. You guys, this is an all-out Bible study today. I'm expecting, this is my last week.
Okay.
Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. It says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. You hear that? They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Okay? So, he didn't say there'll be a few teachers. He said there'll be a great many of teachers. How many churches does the Southern Baptist Convention own? 46,000 churches. So,
right.
Because the war is about you and God. It's not about who taught you wrong, who led you astray. Study to show thyself approved is a one-on-one commandment, right?
Amen.
Put on your full armor is a one-on-one commandment, okay? It is not for us to give that over to someone else and their teaching. If you believe everything I say, and Chuck Mitchell used to say this, if you believe everything I say, you failed the course.
Thank you.
If you quote me before you quote the Bible, you have failed the course.
Yes.
Because you should always say, the Bible says this, not my pastor.
Right.
Like, who's your pastor? When did he write a book? There's his Bible.
Right.
So we have to make sure that we're in line with God, okay? Now, the time will come, and I believe that the time is already here, okay? I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 11.
Pastor Sandy Priscilla from Scotland, United Kingdom says thank you.
Hey Priscilla, how you doing? Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Oh, goodness. Let's see. I'm going to read verse 6, then we're going to go back up, okay? Listen, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, okay? Or diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, okay? Because to have faith, you have to first of all believe that he exists, right? But if you believe that he exists and that's your only faith, you fail the course.
Yes.
Because the word faith in both Greek and Hebrew have two meanings. It's to have confidence in something, which is God, and it means to be steadfast and loyal to God, okay? So you have to not only just believe that he exists, like Satan is trying to get believing that God is. He'll never be able to do that. You know God exists.
Amen.
Satan is trying to get you to not be loyal to him, to make your decisions outside of the word of God. What's today's title? Living for God in Babylon.
It's a good title.
You live here, but you don't have to act like these people.
Amen.
There's some Hebrew boys that got to Babylon and they said, we're not getting involved. Hey, Shadrach, I got the new Snoop Dogg album. I don't get involved. We gonna watch Basketball Wives tonight. No, I don't get involved. Because we like Babylonian entertainment because it perks up the flesh. Once you get yourself and your mind all involved in what they're doing in Babylon, you find yourself not living correctly because they don't make television to entertain you. The young lady said, who was into witchcraft, she says, what Christians don't know is entertainment starts with the word enter. She says it's a witchcraft word. Media is also the name of a demonic spirit. So they named them both just to let you know, we're not just trying to entertain you to get you excited about something. We're trying to enter. We're trying to enter your thought pattern. We're trying to enter your life. We're trying to enter the way you raise your children. This is what we're trying to do, okay? So that means while you're in Babylon, you have to control what enters, okay? Here we go.
Amen.
So now we're going to go back up top to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I asked God, this is a lot of preaching, Lord. You sure this is the message today? He was, the Lord was like, who's leading you? I was like, you are. Okay. So it says, now faith. Oh, I'm not going to read from that section because it doesn't read correctly. Let me see. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay. Did you get that? Okay, here's the word substance in the Greek. Hypostasis. Steadfastness of mind. Okay? Okay? Structure and foundation of a building. It is the substance. That which actually exists. So the substance is something that is tangible, that you can touch, you can see. It is something that we can measure because it's real. Having faith and it being the substance has to be something we can measure. Can I measure that you believe or not? No. You believe, it's like it's up in the air, or who knows whether you believe or not. But I can measure the substance. So what is the substance? Faith. So I know that you have faith by your steadfastness and loyalty to God. That's how I know you have faith. If you don't have faith, I'm going to know because your decision making doesn't come with any acknowledgement or respect for God. So therefore, I'm going to know that you don't have faith because that's going to be the substance of it. You understand? That's going to be the substance of your faith. So no matter what you tell me you believe,
I'm going to know what you believe by what you do.
Amen. Amen.
It better be true. So I better shut up, right? Because because emunah in Hebrew doesn't even mean to believe in something that you don't see. Emunah only means faithfulness. So when a Hebrew guy writes faith, he's telling you, by your faithfulness to God, I will know that you are really a believer of God.
Yes.
Okay? By the way you conduct your will. Ah. By the way you conduct your will, I'm going to know that you belong to God. Rasham was in the car when I rolled up to the side and gave me you're the number one finger and was calling me all kinds of names. And I said, well, Jesus loves you, brother. I hope you have a good day. And I hope you don't get in an accident because you seem mighty, mighty angry. And he looked at me and gave me the you're number one sign again and drove off. And Rasham went, wow, you handled that well. He said, I don't know if I would have did that. I said, you know what? That's maturity. That's from reading the word. That's from making mistakes. And that's from realizing that even if someone acts a fool, it doesn't give me the right to act a fool because I'm not here representing Babylon. I'm here representing the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
But I could have. Now, let me tell you something. Before, if you did that, I follow you home. I'm telling you, I was crazy. I will follow you home. And I will get out the car and say, okay, now who you say number one? And then I'd go to church that Sunday. I'm telling you, then I'd go to church. So if the guy was there that I followed home and gave him a good one, came to church, he would go, that's the same guy that... So something's not balancing out because my will is not measuring up to my confession, okay?
Amen. Amen.
So I'm going to continue reading this. Okay, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is what all of these people that are these great heroes of the Bible were commended for. They were commended for their steadfast loyalty to God through their whole life, even though they did not receive some of the things that they were promised on earth at that time, they still remained steadfast and loyal to God.
Yeah.
Even in the Greek, the word pistos, which means faith, and the word, these words are what you call aortis words, okay? Now, aortis is something that exists in the Greek, but not in the English language. Aortis just means what I'm confessing now, and I'm going to do forever. So if I confess something, so if you confess the Lord Jesus is Lord, I confess that Jesus is Lord. In the Greek, it's going to be in an aortis form, which tells you if you're going to confess that Jesus is Lord, it has to be a confession that is you're doing now and is going to be the confession that you're going to carry through the rest of your life. If you go back on your confession, you also go back on your relationship. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This is why, and I'm thinking, this wasn't part of my scripture, but the Lord is leading me to.
Yeah.
I think it's Corinthians chapter 15. Let me see. Oh, yeah, it is. Now watch this. 15 verse 1 and 2. Now watch. Now, brethren, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. Anybody know what the next word is?
Yeah.
If you hold firmly, why? Because your confession becomes an aorta's confession. You have to confess the rest of your life that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord for the rest of your life. You cannot go back on your confession because it says, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, beautiful English word, you have believed in vain, which means what you believed in will not gain you anything.
That's deep.
And see, so now you understand and know why Satan came up with once saved, always saved, because you don't have to keep your confession and you don't have to submit your will. All you have to do is play church. All you have to do is be religious, be comfortable, don't be accountable. You don't have to be radical about Jesus. You can just do the church thing and live whatever way you want. And they tell you, and Jesus says in Revelation, I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He didn't say it bothers me. He says, I hate it. Because this guy named Nicholas, who had started this movement, was teaching people that you don't have to submit to God. All you have to do is believe he exists somewhere in the clouds. And once you do that, you're God's people. And if you believe he exists in the clouds the rest of your life, you're now God's people. You don't have to submit your will. You don't have to submit anything. All you have to do is believe he exists. And then you go to the New Testament and it says, even demons believe that God exists.
Yeah.
He says, like that's supposed to be some big braggadocious thing. I believe God exists. The Bible says even demons believe that and they're afraid. So the confession is not it. Now, the Lord, now watch this. The only way you could talk about an aorta's word in English is when you get married. Because you make, the pastor gives you all of these things that you promise that you will do, right? I'll keep myself only unto her for the rest of my life. I'll love her and keep her, right? And then you say, I do. Now that I do is the closest thing you can get to an aorta's word for a confession, believing, and faith, which means I'm going to do this now and it's going to last forever. So when you say I do, is it for that day?
No.
Is it for the next 2 weeks?
Forever.
It's because he finishes off until death do us part. With us, it's until life joins us together, right? So I do is a marriage word. It's aortis. Confession is an aortis confession. It is you saying what you will do and you will continue to do it and you will not turn back on it and you will love God and you will submit your will to God for as long as you both shall live, right?
Amen.
Okay. Now I want to read this and I'm going to get there before I start reading it because I was reading something today. This morning, and it was like amazing. And I'll tell you guys in a second because you know you have preconceived notions in your mind. Okay, it's Genesis chapter 39. Okay. Genesis chapter 39. And it's about Joseph. Okay. Where is it? Oh, there it is. There it is. Okay. Joseph, is it in verse 8? 39 verse 8. Okay. But he refused. Okay. So, watch this. It says, and I'm starting verse 6. He says, so he left in Joseph's care everything he had. His master went away, right? He left everything in Joseph's care. with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused.
Amen.
He says, "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" You see that loyalty? Did you see the will pop in? Now, here was the preconceived notion in my mind. I'm reading this book called Great Women in the Bible, and it mentions Potiphar's wife. I'm gonna read it to you. It says, women in the Bible, about the book, it says, "Before she was Potiphar's wife, Zilpah was her name, was a king's daughter on the island of Crete, where a sisterhood of women ruled. She was one of the most beautiful women of her time, and now married to a wealthy man named Potiphar." So I thought in my mind, oh, this is some old lady coming on to a young kid while her older husband has left. But the book said Potiphar married her. He went and purchased her, married her at a young age. She was still a very young, beautiful woman. The book says she was one of the most beautiful women that had been brought into Egypt. And they brought her from Crete, and they brought her, and she was younger than her husband and very beautiful. So now I always thought, well, Joseph just resisted an older woman who was married to an older guy. I did not think that Joseph, in his own will, said, "I can care less how good looking you are. You are not going to make me sin against my God."
Yes.
You understand?
Amen.
It's a matter of your heart and your loyalty.
Amen.
It was not a matter of him going, "Oh, well, I'm not even really attracted to you." The book said she was one of the most beautiful women in Egypt. This wealthy guy, Potiphar, went and bought her and married her. And here Joseph is in the house by himself, but he made a what? An ethical choice concerning his will for God. And that is what God is looking for. What do you do when nobody's watching? Because Potiphar wasn't home.
Right.
And they couldn't see God, although he believed in God. So he's there, and to the foolish person, they think, "God's not watching. My master's away." No, God is always watching, okay? But your will is always your will. And God will never take it from you.
Amen.
Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I don't think we're going to be here that much longer, but the Lord said, people who hear this can repent now, because a lot of people have been caught up into the religion of religion. I go to church. Okay. I love Pastor Ben. Can I just say I love you with all my heart? You know why? Pastor Ben sees stuff that I don't see. Pastor Ben keeps me from being a fool. Because Pastor Ben, I call myself sucker pastor, because people can come to me and give me any story. I'll start crying. I'll give them all the cash in my pocket, and they can have the key to my car for the next few days until they get their own place. That's my heart. It's like, I don't know why I'm like that, but I call myself sucker pastor because I get suckered a lot. I gave this guy all his money one time, and I drove by, And God said, look to the left. I look over and there's the same guy I gave all this cash to because I thought he was hungry and he'd go get a place to stay. He's there with a 40 ounce and a cigarette. God said, you provided that. And he said, be wiser when you don't just give stuff out. I'm trying to help these ladies get a tent over their thing. And I'm thinking when I go back, I'll bring them the tent. And then because it's going to rain and I'll give them some cash and they can get food. By the time I get there, one of them had already OD'd. But in my heart, I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing. If I had gave him the money, I would have been part of that because I would have gave him the money to do the drug. A lady came in here Wednesday night. And I'm getting suckered in. I'm trying. I said, well, I don't have any cash on me. And she said, well, if you have a card, I have a, you know. So she got a way to take the money by card. I said, no, I don't think I want to do that. But I thought maybe I'll ask Pastor Ben. And Pastor Ben walked out and went, and as soon as he did that, I went, we ain't got nothing for you. You got to go. Because I trust Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben will see things in people that I don't see. And he'll know the heart ain't right. See, what the test is about is to see what's in your heart. God can see in your heart. Don't you know when you get saved, God already knows there's a whole bunch of junk in there that he's got to work rid of. Okay? First, I got to get you off weed, Sandy, and then I got to get you. Now, I got to get you to stop cursing. Then I got to get you off weed. Then I got to get you off anger. Okay? Then I got to get you off lust. Okay? So you got a whole lot of maturity to go, but I love you. Come on in. Let's get started. And I say, I'm confessing that you're my Lord. And so now that I'm confessing, he's telling me, okay, study to show thyself approved because that word is going to cleanse some of that filthy stuff in you out. Now, if I don't study, I'm exercising my own will because though you told me to study, I ain't doing it. Because I don't see how me reading the Bible is going to make me a better person. I already said I believe in you. Wow. So I'm exercising my will. I'm doing the Thelema now, right? I'm exercising my will. I don't need the Bible to get better as a Christian. I just need to go to church. Nobody's living for God there. So now that they become my examples other than the Word of God. You understand? So they become my examples. So my examples was this pastor who wasn't living for God and these members who wasn't living for God. And I wasn't reading because I wasn't obeying the Bible to tell me to study to show myself approved. So I wasn't growing. I'm in a church that's jacked up. And now I'm blaming God because I'm thinking Christianity don't work. Christianity works perfectly. I'm going to show you how it works. You're in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Watch this. This is what God. Now, this is called the law of blessing and cursing. Okay? How many of you guys know that blessing and cursing is a universal law? Yeah. It's like gravity on earth. Mm-hmm. It works, rather you want it to or not. You understand?
That's right.
If you live within the law, you're going to get certain things.
Yeah.
If you live outside of the law, you're going to get certain things.
Yeah.
So I want you to know that Deuteronomy 28 is a universal law of blessing and cursing.
Yeah.
Now, since you have control of it, do you have control whether you jump out of a window or not on the fifth floor? You have control of that. So you can live your whole life not knowing the pounding of a ground and your head. Just because you respect what? The law. Now, jump out, does it hurt right away? No. It's like, hey, I jumped. Nothing happened. This is going pretty well. Hold on a couple seconds.
Give it a minute.
when you hear splash, then you'll know. Okay? This is what God is trying to teach human beings about blessing and cursing. Okay? You don't have to obey it, and it may not bother you, it may not affect you immediately, but give it a little while. God is awesome. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God, this is the blessing, and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, and you will be blessed in the country. So now it gives you all this big list of everything that's going to be blessed in your life if you decide with your own will to obey God. If you say, I'm going to obey. Do you have to obey? No, you don't have to. You got your own will. No, but I'm going to do it. Why? Because God says, I'll be safe if I do it. Okay? Now, someone said, well, this is the Old Testament. Watch this. Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's the same scripture. It's the same scripture. It's worded different. He's saying, now if you keep Jesus' words, if you study your word, if you put on the full armor, if you make your confession sure, steadfast, and stay faithful to God, because when you do that, what are you doing? You're seeking after his righteousness. And he says, all these things will be added to you. And see, you thought you were blessed because you're smart. Some of us know that God led our finances.
Yes.
He's led everything, and God is even leading you to more, the more you live. Because if you read this whole thing, it says, if you continue to live in righteousness, it says blessings will find you and overtake you. Now, the Hebrew word, it will embrace you with a strong grip and will not let you go. So living righteous, you know, you start and you go, well, I've been living righteous for a year and I don't have everything I want. Give it a while. Give it a while, okay? Stay steadfast. Keep continuing. Because God is not ignoring what you're doing.
Right.
Okay? And then now that you're living right, you can say, boy, God has noticed, wow, you want this. And he goes, I'm going to set that up for you, right? Because you're living in the blessing of obedience. And you continue this, and then all of a sudden, one day, if someone walks in and goes, oh, I really like your place. Oh, this is a really nice car you have. And then you're like, no, my smarts didn't get it, because when I was living bad, I had a jalopy, right? And you're like, but once I said, I'm not living like that anymore, God said, okay, then now you've set yourself on another course. Mm-hmm. Don't happen right away,
right.
But stay on and watch what God does. I guarantee you that God will keep his word. Okay?
Amen.
Now watch this. Go to 28 verse 15. Same book, Deuteronomy. It says, however, there's that word again, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you, and there's that word, overtake you. I mean, the word in the Hebrew is it will embrace you with a strong grip. Okay? So it will overtake you. So you have the ability to not be cursed by making a decision to live for God. And you have the ability to be cursed by deciding, God don't see me sometimes. I can get away with this, this, and this, because I know God's not watching. But you know what's watching? The law.
Yes.
Of blessing and cursing.
Yes.
Is watching you. And you know what? Soon as you start sinning, it goes, I smell sin. Yeah. Uh-huh. Is that weed smoke? I smell sin. Is that fornication? Oh, we gonna do some things over there.
Right.
And them demons start following you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a story. Well, I got a testimony. I don't want a testimony. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to have a testimony. I want to grow up in a good house, be a good person, be blessed, and go to heaven.
Amen.
You can do that. You don't need to have a testimony. Your testimony is, I live for God, my parents live for God, my mom live for God, I live for God, and I'm blessed. That's my testimony.
Yeah.
Okay, and God is real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I never jumped out of a window. If you did, you can come give your testimony after mine. But for me, that's my testimony.
Amen.
Hallelujah, because I'm running out of stuff. Now, okay, now, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. It tells, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Your answer should be, look, fruit don't grow on thorn bushes, okay? If I see something in this person's life that shows me that their thelema is not submitted to God, I can't follow this person. I was not the church we went to, but I was with another guy at a church that me and Drea was going to, and a young lady got in an argument with the pastor after service, and he started laying into her with some words that was kind of like, hey, them kind of South Central LA words, man. And so after I told him, hey, I can't go to this church no more, man. You showed me today that you're immature. So I left. Why? Because he didn't show the fruits that he was of God. Because like I always tell people, if you squeeze an orange, you should always get orange juice.
Right.
If you squeeze an orange and you get pulse, that was not an orange, or it was a very rotten old orange. You understand? If I squeeze a Christian, I should get Christianity.
That's right.
Okay? I should see Jesus oozing out of you because somebody squeezed you. The problem is we get squeezed sometime and pus comes out. Now, here go Pastor Sandy. Sound like he's perfect. No, I'm not. People have squeezed me and some stuff came out of there. It was like, are you sure you're saved? But I mean, I've matured since then. But I'm saying what people must have thought of me when I was trying to do, I do my will and I'm a Christian. When you do your will and say you're a Christian, you confuse people.
Yeah.
It confuses your children.
Yes.
When you go to church and you sing for Jesus and you come home and you curse them out, that's confusing. Mm-hmm. What are we doing here? So be the person that you are confessing, and confess it the rest of your life. Here in, it says, watch therefore in Matthew 24, verse 40. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So I looked up the word watch, and in it says, to decline the inclination of laziness.
Ooh.
To give strict attention to be cautious, active, and to not give over to laziness. So, in studying my word, I don't become lazy. You know why? Because I know that continuing to grow depends on me having discipline to continue to do the things that are causing me to be better. You understand? Jasmine, you look beautiful. Now, if Jasmine said, you know what, I don't want to do this no more, right? Or you jump off your wagon and you say, I think, wait a minute, was that the donut shop? You know, you'd be like doing all stuff like that, right? And you start, what happens is now you start going the other way, okay? Now you start shifting this way. You're not an alcoholic. Well, I think, you know, it has fully delivered me from alcoholism. I'm going to go hang out in front of the liquor store, okay? When you get away from the discipline, because your first idea was, I can't be there, I can't do that, these people I can't be around, I can't do that, and you have this beautiful discipline, and from the discipline you're going to see results. But outside of the discipline, once you start going back, you're going to start seeing that behavior come back. You understand? So therefore, it's not just a confession for a time, it's the confession to continue. It becomes a what? Aorist verb in Greek. Either you're going to live your life this way or you're not. Drea has a lifestyle of how she eats that she does not deter from. I would die on that diet. Cauliflower and rice? Brussels sprouts? Where's the steak in that? But through her discipline, she's able to handle some health things that she has victory over because she has a discipline.
Yes.
Christianity is about discipline.
Yes. 5 minutes left.
I'm hitting the brakes because we're backing up because I want to say that again. Christianity is about discipline.
Yes.
Welcome to the church. Put on your armor. Christianity is about discipline.
Yes.
It's about studying the word of God. It's about having a consistent prayer life. It's about being in fellowship with other people who are living for God. It is a discipline. You don't get anywhere without some type of discipline in your life. I don't care what you want to be.
Yes.
You're going to have to study what you're doing. You're going to have to know. You're going to have to know how to operate in the business that you're doing, because you're going to study to show yourself approved. You're going to make sure that you're disciplined in that area so you can be successful.
Yes.
I always say this example. If you place a clear, beautiful glass of water outside and leave it for a month, you come back, all kinds of stuff will be growing out of that thing. And you're like, you used to be so saved. What happened? Right? And a water like you left me out here stale with no word. But if you put that same glass under a running water and keep the water running through it, you come back, still be clear, beautiful crystal water. Why? Because the consistent flow of the living water are to enter you. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You can't ignore how they're trying to enter you.
Amen.
You can't watch the Soul Train Awards. Why? Because the Holy Spirit don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a show. It's just a show. There's a whole lot of stuff going on that you're not paying attention to, okay? You got your young men, and they're watching. I got my sons in there, and we're watching, and I'm not saying I've never seen one, but we're watching Soul Train Award, and then Hoof Daddy come out with his girls.
What daddy?
Whatever, right? They have all kind of names. And then Hoof Daddy, and then he come out, he's rapping, and his girls are like, this and that and that and this, and your sons are like this. And then you wonder what happened when they get older, right?
Amen.
You let that spirit enter.
Yep.
I can't watch everything. I can't listen to everything. I can't hang around everybody. Me and Drea had friends. I had a friend. I loved this friend. He was, this guy was so cool. I mean, when I was going to get